So thanks, Tom, for praying. Thanks, everyone, for coming. As Tom said, we are in Psalm 23 tonight, which is undoubtedly one of the best-known passages in the Bible. It's fridge magnet territory. But of course, the reason that a passage comes to be of such prominence is because it is of great benefit to God's people. And so with that in mind, let's read it now. Psalm 23. It'd be really helpful to have that open. Page 458 of the Church Bibles. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Great. And to start off this evening with a confession, I can't really swim. I can get by just about with doggy paddle now, but there is nowhere I feel more uncomfortable or more in danger than being out of my depth in water. It terrifies me, and always has. And when I was about 5, on a family holiday, my dad took me and my brothers out on a rowing boat in a loch. And there were lots of frogs in the water, and so naturally I was peering over to have a good look, when I leaned over a bit too far, and splash, I toppled in. It's a nightmare scenario, and I felt very much in danger. But the next thing I know, my dad is hauling me out of the water and onto the boat. Now I was cold, wet, scared, but safe. My dad had me now, and he was taking me home to be warm and dry. And you see, Psalm 23 is all about the Christian life, which is like being on that boat, between the water and the warmth. Out of danger, you're safe. No longer dead in our sins. And now being taken home to heaven. And yet on the way, still cold and shaken and scared, in a broken world of suffering and death, we go through dark valleys that can rock us to the core. But our shepherd is with us, and we're safe, and we're on our way home to heaven. And Psalm 23 is a psalm that a Christian can sing and pray today as someone who is in Christ. We shouldn't assume that as our starting point, but that is the case with Psalm 23. And as we start, we should notice how intimate and personal this psalm is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That the words I or me or my appear 17 times in 6 verses. There is no we or us. And of course, the Bible as a whole does paint God's salvation plans in corporate terms. Jesus died for the sake of the church, and a Christian does not subsist in isolation. But this psalm does not use corporate terms. It is very personal. It concerns God's intimate and absolute commitment to the individual Christian, to you, through thick and through thin. And as we dive in, we have at least 2 images of the Lord's care in this psalm. The shepherd who cares for his sheep in verses 1-4, and the host who cares for his guest in verses 5-6. And we're going to look at each image in turn now. First then, verses 1-4. The Lord as shepherd, who cares for his sheep. And remember, these verses are about this life, between the water and the warmth. And David starts off with a statement of faith. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's important, I think, we see that everything that follows proceeds from that starting point of the present tense relationship with the Lord, with Yahweh. The awesome God of the covenant, creator of the universe, sovereign in power, is tenderly and intimately committed to the psalmist as his shepherd. That is the privileged starting point of this psalm. It is the prayer of someone who's been saved, who has been hauled from danger, and knows the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. And so, if the Lord is my shepherd, verse 1 continues, I shall not want. Now, we talk about wanting stuff all the time in relation to what we desire. I want Scotland to win the Rugby World Cup. Gideon wanted a barbecue. But Scotland won't win, and it's raining. And these words don't relate to our desires. They relate to our needs. A better translation might be, I shall not lack. That is, I, as a Christian, will never lack anything that I need. And of course, what I need, above all else, is to have the Lord as my shepherd, to know God, to have forgiveness of sins and life in him, to be on the boat home, not wallowing in danger. And that is, I believe, a monumental truth for us to grasp, that if you trust in Jesus, whatever it is you do not have, you truly do have everything that you need. And that isn't to say, of course, that we neglect the good gifts that God gives us in this life, a job, friends, family. But it is to say that if we had none of those things, but still had Jesus, then we lack nothing. And how does the shepherd care for the psalmist? Please read verse 2 with me again. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Green pastures and still waters. It's a lovely image of rest and feeding and satisfaction and peace. And remember, this is about life now. This isn't heaven. And we will, of course, get to verse 4. It's not all plain sailing. But sometimes the boat ride home is very pleasant. And verse 2 pictures the sustenance and protection that the Lord provides to his people in the green pastures and still waters of life. The good days. For many, that may be the normal days. And verse 3 continues, he restores my soul. That is, the Lord renews the vitality of a Christian. He keeps you going. And he leads me in paths of righteousness. That is, the Lord guides the Christian on the right paths of living. You know, I'd guess that at your work, people are very careful to make sure credit gets correctly apportioned when work gets done. I mean, look at verses 2 and 3. Look at where the credit's due. He. The Lord does all of this. And in terms of the Lord's restoration and leading, Doug really helpfully brought this out from verse 7 of Psalm 19 last week. The Lord's word restores the soul. It is through his word, applied by the Spirit, that the Lord renews and guides his people in this life. And let's not miss why he does this. The end of verse 3, for his name's sake. The Lord renews and leads his people for the sake of his glory and his honor. That this is crucial. It's God who guides and restores, and it's God who is glorified in doing so. It's his work, and it's for his glory. And just to pause at this stage, we should ask ourselves if we share this very God-centric view of the Christian life. And it certainly should be reflected in our prayers. We ask the Lord to help us live a life pleasing to Him for the sake of His glory, for the sake of His renown in the world, for His name's sake. So, verses 2 and 3, Christ is with us in the light meadows as well as the dark valleys, and He cares for us daily as He leads us on right and satisfying paths for His name's sake. And at this point, we see a real shift in the language of the psalm. Please look down at verses 1 to 3 with me again. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores. He leads for His name's sake. The psalmist has been talking about God. Now please look down at verses 4 to 5. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table. You anoint my head. The psalmist is no longer talking about God. He is talking to God. And before we go on to look at verse 4, I think there is some helpful application for us in that. We shouldn't talk too long about God without talking to God. Our theology should lead to prayer. That is, our understanding of who God is as our shepherd who leads and restores us should drive us to speak to Him. So then, verse 4. Before we unpack this, please remember that we are still on the paths of righteousness from verse 3. There's not been a wrong turning or a sat-nav error between verses 3 and 4. When the Christian goes through dark valleys, they are not out of step with God's plans or purposes or love or faithfulness. They are on the paths of righteousness in which the Lord leads. And indeed, it is often on those, well, in those dark valleys that His faithfulness and care become the most acutely clear. And I think it is telling that it's at this point in the psalm we see the switch from the psalmist talking about God to talking to God. Now, the valley of the shadow of death. I think that broadly covers the converse of the Christian life from green pastures and still waters. Anguish, pain, loss, uncertainty, and yes, death. Things that Christians can and will and do go through whilst on the journey home. And in those valleys, it is the Lord Himself that is the comfort. The psalmist will fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Back in the day, a shepherd would have used their staff to guide the flock and keep them on the right path to stop any going astray. And they'd have used their rod to beat off wolves and any other predators. The image of a shepherd, it's not a cute granddad sitting by the fire with a lamb on his lap. The shepherd is a warrior who fights for his sheep. Christ is faithful, good, kind, but He isn't soft. And His protection brings comfort. And if you are a Christian, then the Lord is with you in the deepest and darkest valleys. The journey might be painful, but never unsafe. Shivering and scared in the boat, yes, but never in danger. And nothing to fear. Not evil, not death. Not yet home, but on your way. And led by a shepherd who is with you, and whose mere presence means you are safe and lack nothing. And please don't hear any of this as me underplaying the depths and severity of the dark valleys that some of us have gone through and are going through. I would encourage you to speak to someone in the church family, perhaps a small group leader, or Tom or Sarah. You are not alone, and your shepherd is good. And so, that's verses 1 to 4. The Lord is the shepherd who cares for his sheep. For any believer, the Lord is your shepherd through the good times of green pastures and still waters and through the rough times of dark valleys, because at all times he leads and restores his people for his name's sake. The Lord is our shepherd who cares for his sheep. And then second, we get to verse 5. The Lord as host who cares for his guest. Please look down at verse 5 again with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And when we read verse 5, I think again, we might automatically assume that this is picturing heaven. But there will be no enemies of the Lord or of the Christian in glory. So whilst this does point towards the fullness of the blessings at the heavenly banquet, this is again primarily about God's abundant blessings in this life. And what a picture it is, that the leisurely blessing of a banquet table, the celebration of being anointed with oil as an honored guest, the satisfaction and abundance as the cup overflows. It is a picture of the Lord's unhurried sustenance and blessing in a place of apparent danger and opposition, in the presence of my enemies. In a world subject to the devil and opposed to the Lord and his plans and his people. Even shivering on the boat with danger all around us, there the Lord blesses his people. And David faced hardships, of course, by virtue of his own sin and by virtue of living in a world broken by sin and full of opposition. And yet God's abundant blessing was at hand even there. And it will be the same for us. It might only be shafts of light into the darkness. But one day, it won't be shafts of light. It won't be a dim foretaste. And Jesus will be at the table with us. And that is, of course, where verse 6 leaves us. Please read that with me again. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a lovely summary of God's faithfulness through this life, right into eternity. The words follow me are better translated as pursue. It is the proactive, inescapable mercy and goodness of the Lord to the Christian. His goodness and mercy have been described as like two sheepdogs going in and out between your legs. You can't get away from them. And they'll follow you relentlessly, not letting you out of their sight until you reach the destination. And the destination is the house of the Lord. Verse 6, the new creation, heaven, where God will dwell with his people. And if the Lord is your shepherd, that is where you will spend forever. It's the warmth we're heading towards. And until we get there, through the ups and downs, the Lord pursues us in his goodness and his mercy. And we do need to see, and I think we've seen this throughout Psalm 23, that this psalm is not about a Christian's commitment to God. It is about God's commitment to a Christian. You're in the boat. He pulled you from danger. He is the one taking you home. And hey, verse 3, he does it for his glory. The psalm is much less about our trust in God and much more about the trustworthiness of God. He leads, he restores, he guides, he pursues in goodness and mercy, and he takes you home. So, that's verses 5 and 6. The Lord is a host who cares for his guest. The Lord blesses his people, even amidst opposition in this life, and his faithful, loving pursuit leads to eternal glory. And as we come into land, I know that some of us do know this psalm very well. It is fridge magnet territory. But I hope that for the Christians here, these words do take real root in our lives. And to assist with that, and given that many of us likely know a good portion of it anyway, it'd be great to memorize this psalm, to commit it to memory, meditate on it, think about it, rejoice in God's daily commitment to you and presence with you, whether in the green pastures or the dark valleys. For if the Lord Jesus is my shepherd, I may have none of the obvious desires of the world, but I have everything I need. The Lord is with me through the ups and downs, and I will dwell in his house forever. So may we have great confidence in the Lord's care. For with Christ as our shepherd, we lack nothing in ordinary times, in fearful times, in life, in death. You're out of danger. You're on the boat. And you're on your way home. Because the Lord is your shepherd. I'm going to pray now, and then we'll have time to work through some of the discussion questions on the sheets. And it'd be great before 7 to work through those questions and then to pray together as well. Let me start off with a prayer now. Heavenly Father, thank you for this remarkable psalm. Thank you for what it teaches us about your commitment to us and your trustworthiness. May our hearts and minds be lifted to our shepherd. May we see his goodness and his faithfulness, and where he leads us to. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.